Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I want to make a statement today, and I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read the scripture first and make a statement. The cross is a given to the church, and what we're getting ready to do right now can become ritual and routine. I have been on occasion when I was not here, which is very, very few, because I've been showing up for 40 years, going on 40 years. And not just showing up, but preaching, proclaiming the gospel. I told the gathering yesterday, I just reread my job description. The Bible said, amen, to choose you out, some men and women, fill them with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we might give ourselves to prayer, intercession, and ministry of the word. That is the calling, and that is the job description. I will give you pastors after my own heart, Jeremiah 3:15, and they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Praise God. Paul said, spinning right off of that in the new covenant, and he said that I commend you to God in the word of his grace. Amen. He said, feed the flock of God. Feed them. Commend you to God in the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. That's why the Bible said, amen, to Joshua when Moses was no longer qualified to lead them. God disqualified him from leading them in because of smiting the stone twice in anger and breaking a type that was meant to be pure. Jesus died once upon the cross. It was only one death, one suffering death to accomplish our salvation. And when you hit it twice, it breaks the type that God wanted to stay there of Jesus Christ. So he wasn't. In fact, he gave him the best funeral anybody could have. God himself took the body of Moses and buried it. And the devil argued with him about the body of Moses. Satan wanted the body. Now, Satan can't take the body. He wanted him to leave it there. He wanted them to put it in some kind of a shrine, just like Marx and Lenin in Red Square or Mecca or the Ganges River where the ashes of Buddha are supposed to be. He wanted a man enshrined as their leader instead of God as their king. Amen. And God knew our tendency to worship creature more than creator. So he took the body of Moses and he put it where he wanted, and it's in a secret place, that old body. But Moses, amen, on Mount of Transfiguration, he's standing right there. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. His body's somewhere in the ground, but his spiritual body, that tabernacle was very real in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Mount Transfiguration, we got to preach and teach on that sometime because they saw where people are. If you don't know what happened when you die. Amen. If you think they're waiting in the ground for the trumpet to sound before they have a conscious thought, Paul said, when you leave this body to be absent, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. Amen. I've seen the other side and I can't be very happy on this side anymore. Can you say, man, I'm in a strait betwixt two. Amen. I'm in this pull this way and pull that way. He said, for me, it's profitable going home, but for your sake, I'll stay here for a little while. Praise God. But he said, after I seen what I saw, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. Everybody's running from the grim reaper because the reaper is so grim. But when an angel comes to escort you into the presence of God, there's nothing grim. You don't run from that. You run to that angel. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. He went on to say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I don't know. I just feel today like in this Holy Communion service, the Lord wants us to get way away from the ritual of it all. I talked to a man yesterday that was, his background was Roman Catholicism. And as a lot of Roman Catholics admit, that it they're not good Roman Catholics. They didn't follow through with, because they didn't find, as he put it, anything substantial enough to make him want to continue to pursue his religion. But if you ask him his background, he volunteered it. He was very nice to talk to. His name is Bill. He may come sometime. But I talked to him and shared our testimony of how Christ saved us and how I was raised in church, but I didn't know Jesus Christ. I went through to Sunday school and I listened to the preacher, but I didn't know Jesus as my Savior. And what a difference it made when I met Christ himself instead of just getting religion or practicing a religion. And it was a joy to stand there. And, you know, I thought the guy, I woke him up evidently. The dogs came to the window first. One blue-eyed Siberian husky and one looked like a German shepherd mix, Belgian shepherd, German shepherd mix. He was black with eyes looking at me like, come on in. Come right on in. Doug said, you know, we shouldn't stand too close to the door. It kind of intimidates people. Some people just open your door and come in. They don't know what we're all about. Said maybe it'd be a good idea when you knock on a door to take one step back and give people a little bit of space. We're learning wisdom as we go, and I think that was a very good thing. And I'm going to tell you, when I saw those two dogs right there in that window, I took two steps back. Amen. But the Lord is good. And it was such a joy to be able to tell somebody not about our religion, but to tell somebody that they can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ that is full and rich and fulfilling and satisfied. And invite them to come and hear about this Christ and this God and this wonderful relationship that he's called us into. I can almost scan an audience, and I'm not going to look at anyone in particular, but I have to look at everyone in particular because we're so small, I can't miss you. But I can tell people that are pursuing fellowship with God, because in his presence, if you've been practicing the presence of God at all this week, in his presence there's fullness of joy. If you haven't been in his presence, you're hard-pressed to have any joy this morning. Amen. But if you've been in his presence, you brought it in with you. Yes. Amen. Yes. And when I came in this morning, I came into a worshiping, a lot of people out, but a lot of people already worshiping God. We haven't even started the worship service. Our grand choir hasn't proceeded. Amen. Amen. Our cloistered choir hasn't begun to hit the high notes yet, and yet people are worshiping God. Hallelujah. Because you brought it with you. Can you say amen? You've been in his presence this week. Well, here's what we want to talk about today. And here's the scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verse 1, 2, and 3. This is something everybody knows. So I'm not bringing you in this something that we don't already know. That's the whole point of communion. That's why we do it over and over. He said, I want you to do it consistently. I want you to do it sequentially. He didn't put a time limit on it. But he said, every time that you do this, I want you to do it for one specific reason. I want you to do it in remembrance of me. And not remembrance of him in a general sense, but in an absolutely specific sense. Because remember me, my body broken, my blood poured out. Say it with me. His body broken, his blood poured out. Now, I meet people all the time that think that is just so fundamental, foundational. We got that. Give me some deep revelation. I want something else. When you start wanting more than that, you have a real spiritual issue. I remember one time I announced I was going to speak highlights of the book of Revelation. Not the whole thing, like Perry Stone and others who that is their total focus. I don't just focus on that. I have to focus on many things to develop and feed and give you your inheritance. Amen. I can't just focus on prophecy alone. So I have to be a general practitioner. Can you say, man, I have to be your GP, not your specialist? There are some specialists out there, but I'm a GP, so I have to cover a whole lot of bases. But I remember announcing back at the Holy Church of God that I was going to speak some things out of the book of Revelation, if you would like to come. And so some people came, a lady and her daughter specifically. And boy, when the book of Revelation begins, the word is See, it's hard for me to You've heard of the apocalypse, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. These are these four horsemen that begin in the opening of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation itself is that Greek word. Apocalypsis is the Greek word. Revelation. And it's the revelation, and people, everybody inevitably want to know about the bold judgments and all the judgments and all, and the Antichrist and the mark of the beast, and there's all kinds of, you know, as technology races forward, we get more and more speculation, and probably some of it very good, about how this could easily come about. You could wake up tomorrow in a cashless society. Do you realize that? You don't get to vote on that. You won't have no say in that. We're already in a credit card situation. We're already having transfer of funds. They would rather that you have cashless, paperless banking than to have the paper work. They'd rather you do it all electronically. It's easier for them. It saves paper. It saves time. And most people, how many do any of your bills online? You got bills? Yeah, okay. Yeah, and some people don't. Some people use the paper. I remember when Bright House Cable, we just got cable, and we had written checks and sent them in on time, and we got a letter saying, you know, if you don't get your payment, we're going to cut your cable. And I thought, boy, that's serious. This is getting serious. You know, I need the bumper sticker. I'll turn loose my remote when they pry it from my cold, dead fingers. It's terrible, but it's true. But anyway, I mean, it's mostly commercials now. It ain't like it used to be. But anyway, amen. And there is Zeal TV, isn't there? You can get Jimmy Swaggart's broadcast now and his church singing. And there's some good stuff. You just got to have a Holy Ghost filter and use it often. But I remember calling them up and saying, listen, you know, our cable is, we sent you the check. And a young lady sitting in front of a computer, she's looking at the computer. The computer don't say it was done, so it can't be done because the computer don't lie. You know, so I said, well, I have my canceled check. Well, I'm sorry, sir. It's nothing I can do. It's in the computer and automatically. Blah, blah. And I went down there and took my canceled check. They cashed the check. The date it was cashed, it was ahead of time. I held it up and showed it to her. They said, okay, sir, we'll take care of this. I said, thank you. I drove to Brandon to get that done. Went back home, got a letter in the mail. We're coming to cut it. And I didn't, you know, it's not that cable was that precious to me. It was the principle of the thing. I paid the bill. I showed you the canceled check. What's wrong? What else do you need? Well, I'm sorry. It shows on our computer. And oh, Lord, give me patience and hurry. Amen. And I said, ma'am, I know there is an office manager there. I know there is. I said, ma'am, I understand what you see on your screen. I know what the screen is telling you. But I'm telling you, I brought the check in. I'm telling you, the lady said she would take care of it. I said, I don't want to have to drive back to Brandon again with my canceled check. Your company has my money ahead of time. And they're threatening, you know. And so they finally give me an office manager, reluctantly, because they knew I'm going to keep calling until I can. I said, I'm sure you have someone there. This is nothing personal, but I want to speak to somebody else over you. Okay. So they sent me the office manager, and the office manager come and said, sir, I apologize. We've had problems with our program on our computer, and we're waiting for the man to come and straighten it all out because we have to have this, and we're so sorry for the engine. I said, then you don't worry. We're not going to cut your cable. You know, and you know, and the technology, it's coming. It's coming. We all know it's coming. So everyone is interested in all of these things that are not about Jesus per se. But the book of Revelation is not about the Antichrist. There's a little bit of space given to him. His whole deal lasts 3.5 years and it's over forever. It doesn't begin with the revelation of who the Antichrist is going to be and who the false prophet's going to be and when is this going to happen and what is that going to be all about. That's not what it's about. So people are real disappointed when you teach on the book of Revelation and start talking about Jesus. You know how that book begins? The revelation, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. Oh, we know Jesus. Tell us something we don't know. Oh, I wish the church would get that attitude again of tell me more. Tell me more about Jesus, more of his mercy, more of his grace, more of his love my soul can trace. Tell me more about Jesus. People are looking for something deep. Amen. I've told you this before, but for the sake of this tape that's being made, the Bible scholar that taught in a prestigious theological seminary and taught the Bible from front to back and had taught a lifetime in retiring, that class, his last class, loved him, revered him, and they wanted him to make that statement as his last statement that he would make as a Bible teaching professor. As his health was failing, he was aging, and he was having to step aside. And so he walked to the microphone and he said, I would like to that filled auditorium of not only that graduating class, but the alumni of people that had revered him and appreciated him. And they were quiet. You could hear a pin drop. Because now he's going to make a statement. They want to write it down. They want to imprint it in their mind. They want to hear what this sage of Scripture has to say. He said, if I could leave you with one thing that I have learned after all of these years of studying Scripture, teaching the Bible, and walking with Christ, it would be this. And now this total attention is given him. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, how disappointed they were. We're looking for something profound. Honey, the cross is something profound. Jesus dying in your place is. One preacher put it so well. The Church of Jesus Christ has been inoculated with such a mild form of Christianity, it's rendered them immune to the real thing. It's all a given. It's all taken for granted. And it's supposed to kindle and rekindle a passionate love for Jesus every time we encounter it. Amen. Woo! So we're looking for something to entertain, something to engage us. By the way, when you get in Bible prophecy, and I'm kind of leaning toward moving into that book one of these days, and of course, I just want you to know, if you think you know everything you need to know about Jesus and you want to know something else, you might as well not even bother with it. Can you say amen? You go to the prophecy section, you're going to find umpteen books on Bible prophecy, and you're going to find umpteen interpretations of what they all think it means. Well, I like Perry Stone best. It don't matter who you like best. They're all going to disagree on something. But there's one thing, if you're a Christian, everybody comes together around. Pat Robinson doesn't believe in the rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture. Did that shock you that he does? A whole lot of people don't. You don't have to believe in the... Yeah, Pat Robinson, he don't believe in a pre-tribulation. You didn't know that? I'm informing you today. Don't let it bother you. Doesn't matter. When we go up, it's going to be fine. Can you? Hey, there's a lot of people don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. Preachers, listen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's coming. You know what his message to us is? I believe in it. Believe it. Don't believe in the pre. Believe in mid. believe it somewhere down the line. Believe it any way you want to, but believe one thing. Christ is coming, just like he said. And his message to the church is to be ye also ready. For in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So that means be ready. He's coming. So to argue over pre or mid or all of this is to me it's a moot issue. Be ready. He could come tomorrow. They lived in a readiness. One of the reasons I'm a pre-trib man is because they lived in constant readiness. Can you say amen? You'd be amazed what's out there. Let's don't even go there, but you would be amazed. We've got 80 denominations under the umbrella of Protestant. In America alone, 80 different groups of us. Can you imagine what would happen if we put aside those non-essentials to the faith and came together around the one thing, amen, that is more important than anything, and that's Jesus and him crucified and preaching the gospel to a lost and dying world. I hate cucumbers. If you fix a salad full of cucumbers, I'm going to pick the cucumbers out. No offense. I would gag on a cucumber. Some of you say a salad ain't a salad without the cucumbers. And I love onions. Me and you are in agreement. I can't stand. I see people, oysters on the half shell. Look at that, he's rubbing his belly. Raw oysters. Man, it reminds me of a sinus problem. And anyway, raw oysters, yeah, but that's why they put the hot sauce on it. Just shake a bunch of hot sauce and just gulp it right on down. You know what they did to me? Turned me off to that. I probably liked them to a point when I was just 14 months old, something like that, when we came to Florida. My aunt and my mama, I guess to keep me satisfied on a long trip in the car, they had bought a quart of those oysters, and they were eating raw oysters, and they were feeding them to me. And between the raw oysters and that old Willis that my dad was driving with, they don't have good shocks like they do. Yeah, Willis. That you remember a Willis? Come on, old school, you're the only one in the room. Hey, Willis, what's a Willis? Yeah, old Jeep type of car. Anyway, put out by the Jeep company. And that old thing, the shocks wasn't good. And we're driving down two-lane highways, no interstate, and with bumps in the road and curves in the road. And this little old 14-month-old back there being fed raw oysters and being jerked all around like that. And boy, I got sick. I don't remember much about being that young. But I remember getting sick. That marked me for life. And when I see raw oysters now, or if I watch Terry eat them, I go, oh, I don't want to, some things you don't want to see. Hallelujah. But the Lord has been good. And if you love raw oysters, that's just great. Here's the point I'm coming to, and it's important. It's important. I don't like cucumbers. Somebody in here loves them. But that's not a reason to break fellowship. Amen. It's okay that you love raw oysters. I wouldn't give you sugar if I was your wife, but it's okay. Till you brushed your teeth, but it's okay. It's okay. There are some things that are non-essential to the faith. I meet with pastors and we disagree on some things, and I will not give in the name of unity and fellowship on the essentials of the faith. I'm Pentecostal from head to foot and all in between. And I do not apologize for that. Because if you're going to be healed and if you're going to be delivered and set free, you need to find a church that allows the Holy Spirit to express himself. Because if you're going to be set free, he's the one that's going to have to do it. Amen. And you can't put him in a box. You know, you got to let him manifest. And when he does, there will be people who out of wisdom, we found that in 1 Corinthians, there are people without wisdom that abuse the gifts. And not one time did Paul say any of those gifts were illegitimate or invalid. He said the people are not using them correctly. In other words, you do not throw out the baby with the bath water. Amen. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When Jerry Falwell took over PTL, he talked tongues and the things of the Spirit. People that had eaten too much pizza. Amen. He just wrote it off as something inconsequential. Someone that is a respected teacher of the gospel in Atlanta, Georgia. Used to be head of Southern Baptist Convention. Charles Stanley, he had an encounter with the Pentecostal movement. He did not receive the baptism. He felt really bad that he didn't, and other people said that they had. And now he's really adamant about the fact that that is not for today. And there's all kinds of things that are non-essential to salvation, non-essential to going to heaven. Can you say, man, come on, church, let's get into this. There's a harvest field out there, and you can't be splitting hairs over non-essentials to get out there. You know what happened when they begin to pull in the net? When they begin to pull in that net because God blessed them, there was such a drought of fishes. The other fishermen saw them struggling with it. They came along in their boats and began to help pull it in. And I'm interested in revival, and I'm interested in seeing souls come to know Jesus Christ, and I'm interested in seeing Christians that are so busy trying to straighten everybody else out, they don't have the joy of the Lord, they don't have the peace of God, they are absolutely rendered non-effective in soul winning at all, amen, because they're too busy arguing doctrine to show anybody the love of Jesus Christ. And somewhere down on the inside of them, there is an ego saying, what I'm out to do is not really get into a truth that can set people free. It's just to say, I'm right and you're wrong. Yeah. I heard a black preacher, wonderful man of God. I appreciate what he said. He was preaching a long sermon on this ego thing. And you know what he said? He said two of the hardest things for a man to say. It'll take a real man of God, woman of the Lord, someone that's humble enough to be a true follower of Jesus Christ to say these two phrases. It's the two hardest things you will ever find that you have to say. Number one, you were right to somebody. There's some people will go to the grave before they would admit, amen, you're right. Amen. But he said, here's the second hardest thing. I was wrong.
All right. Amen. Amen.
But when we come to the place we can say, I'm wrong. You are right. But Jesus is Lord. We can do something for God. I appreciate what they call apologists. Ravi Zacharias, one of those apologists. And what they do, they defend the faith. They're not apologizing. They're not ashamed of the gospel. They are defending the faith in the face of so much opposition, persecution. Biblically, they'll go to a university campus and defend the faith. And one of those apologists was part of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and he went to a huge college campus to talk to them about the Christian faith. And he went during the late 80s when there was such a movement against all religion and even the concept of God, and he had a hostile audience. They were all coming into this New Age thinking and this anti-God and this anti-Christ spirit that seems to be pervading. I think I told you that story. And he shared biblically and personally the faith to a hostile audience, and one young woman was just, she was just the worst one for asking these pointed questions to try to say, that's all right for you, it's all right for other people, but I don't buy into it, I don't believe it, I don't agree with it. And after it was over, they were congenial. On the way out, they all came to shake his hand for coming to speak to them. And on the way out, as they were shaking his hand, she was the last person. And she said, "Thank you for coming to speak with us. And I'm sorry that if I was, you know, so emotional about all of this, but I still don't agree with you on any of this." And he said, "That's your privilege. That's your prerogative." He said, "But could I do something before we part?" She said, "Well, I guess so." He said, "Could I just pray for you?" And she said, "Okay." She's got her eyes wide open. And he bows his head. He begins to pray for her. Now, he could have began his prayer in a way that would have killed about what God was about to do. Because he could have began to pray, "Lord, see, I'm right and you're wrong." If that's the motive. If that's the motive instead of the soul, you can turn somebody away. So all he had to do, out of lack of wisdom, and you can call it passion for souls. No, it's a desire to be right and prove somebody wrong. And that's not how we win people. Amen? He could have said, "Lord, open her eyes and let her see the truth." Yeah, that's going to go over real big. And ain't going to work with nobody. He said, "Lord, please let this woman know you're real. And that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross in her place, in my place, in our place to save us from our sins. Please let her know that." And as he prayed, the compassion, everybody say passion and compassion. Do not misconstrue them. They are not one and the same. That's why the Bible said, speaking the truth, passion, with love, compassion. Can you say amen? Because if it ain't in love, I'm going to tell you flat out, it's not God, even though it's true. Because God is love. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So if you're going to cross swords intellectually to try to mentally give somebody a battle instead of loving them, praying for them, and showing them the love of Christ, you can't win them to Jesus. So I know people that are champion the cause of the truth, but they couldn't win a soul. People see them coming, they go the other way. You know why they go the other way? Because they know they don't love them. The Jews didn't love the people they were indoctrinating. And Jesus said, "You cross land and sea. You got the real, you're out there, man. You're out there. You cross land and sea to make one proselyte." You know what a proselyte is? A conversion to your faith, your way of thinking, your religious. And it may be right. The point is, the motive is wrong. It's dead wrong. As this man prayed for her, the compassion of Christ came forth. And I don't know this woman's background, as I told you last week, but God knows everything. Tears begin to stream down his cheeks as he prayed for her. She, with eyes wide open, saw a man weeping. When Jesus looked over Jerusalem, the first thing he did, he saw people as sheep having no shepherd. First thing he did, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, somewhere around the 30s in the verses. You know what he did? He said he stood on a hill overlooking the city. He saw people as sheep having no shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. And then he said to his disciples, "Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the field." He also said something else. We always use it in terms of power. It was more than power. It was this kind of love for the lost. Can you say amen? He said, "Even as the Father sent me, so send I you." Can you say amen? The disciples, because they were rejected, their ego was bruised. They went into a city and preached the gospel, and everyone rejected it. And it bruised their ego. And they turned from caring about those souls to wanting God to damn those very souls for rejecting them. And they said, Lord, let's call fire down out of heaven. Call fire down. They don't deserve grace. They don't deserve saving. We told them the truth. They flat out rejected it. Let fire fall on them and consume them. Jesus said, and you better check this, everybody in this room. Check it. You don't know what spirit you're of. You think it's God. It isn't. I didn't come into this world to condemn it. He came because it was already condemned. He came to seek. He came to save. And it earned him a terrible reputation. They looked at him initially, not as the Son of God, but as a rabbi. And you know what? You know what happened? They said, this man eats with publicans and sinners. He's associating. When the woman out of whom he cast seven devils was so grateful, she came where he was, fell on her knees, and began to wash his feet with her tears. In love and thanksgiving and gratitude. He was in a religious man's house, in a Pharisee's house. And that man was thinking, and by the way, God knows what we're thinking. He knows what you're thinking 24/7. I have to check myself. And so I'm going to be the first one to lead this. Check yourself out. Make sure, amen, that passion and compassion are not misunderstood and misrepresented. Can you say amen? If you haven't wept for anyone, it don't matter what a champion of truth you are. You don't love a soul until you can weep for that soul. Can you say amen? You got to be tender-hearted. The Bible said the reason that we don't have unity in the body of Christ is because we don't have tender-hearted people. The Bible said if you get tender-hearted, you won't be accusative. If you get tender-hearted, you won't be constantly criticizing. If you get tender-hearted, amen, be ye kind to one another. Tender-hearted, doing what? What it takes to get along with one another, and that's forgive one another. I can't get along with you. You may not know this, but you're not so perfect. I couldn't get along with you unless I could forgive you on occasion. Amen. But if you're not tender-hearted, you don't forgive nobody. I don't get a lot of forgiveness from people. I don't have many people ever say, Pastor, I'm sorry. I had the wrong spirit, the wrong attitude. I preached for 40 years. Count on one hand. When someone has come and said, Pastor, forgive me, I was wrong. Why? Because we don't know what spirit we're of. I'm right! You're wrong! That's it! Be ye kind. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Come on, quit all this talking in tongues without love. Stop it! It's nothing but noise! Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and I have not love, it's sounding brass. It's tinkling cymbal. You can become self-sacrificing. Do I give my body to be burned? And I don't do it out of a motive of love. One day we're going to come before a judgment seat. It's called the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. No, you're not going to be at the great white throne. Only those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there is a judgment seat we will all appear before. It's called the Bema, B-E-M-A. It's the judgment seat of Christ. And what's going to happen then? It's not about going to heaven or going to hell. It's not about banishment or punishment. You know what it's about? It's about what we did. It's about not just what we did. It's about the attitude of the heart with which we did it. Amen? And our works, everything we did in His name, are going to be tried as by fire. And everything done with the wrong motive. The Bible said, do nothing for vain glory. Do nothing just to bring the spotlight on you. Oh, how we need some people with the spiritual fruit of kindness. Because when you're kind and tender-hearted, you're quick to forgive. But when you're hard and determined to prove I'm right, and you'd better acknowledge I'm right. And I don't ask forgiveness when I realize I got the wrong spirit. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Not the spirit of, it's not about right. You can be right on the issue, but wrong in your heart. So it's not about just speaking truth. It's speaking the truth in love. I can thump you with this. I can beat you with this. I can knock you around with this. Or I can provoke you with this. Provoke you. Provoke. What a strong term. Provoke one another to love and good works. Wow. If Jesus didn't get those disciples to fall in love with Him, there's no threat He could come up with. They were so afraid of being hung on a cross like He was. If He hadn't loved Peter and provoked him to love him back, Peter would have never followed Jesus and you never heard of him again. The last thing you would have heard of Peter, that he denied Jesus and went back and fished the rest of his life. Amen. Amen. But you know what happened? Jesus was on the bank. He came and there was a man. They toiled all night. He's sick in his heart. He said, well, if I go a fishing. They put him on the cross. It's all over. It's all off. I'm going back to my old vocation. Amen. This gospel stuff is gone. God couldn't use me anyway. I'm a royal failure, but boy, I can fish. Can you say, man, I'm going to go do something I know I can do. I can fish. I can't follow Jesus, but I can fish. Amen. I know where they are and I can catch them. And I'm just going to go. He said it. I go a fishing. Yes. Of course, when you're out of the will of God, your catch isn't very good. Can you say, man? And they haven't caught anything and they're tired and they're wore out and the net gets caught on something and you're tired and now you're going to tear up the net trying to get it uncaught. And he strips off his clothes and dives into naked Peter swimming down there, buff, skinny dipping. Amen. He's tired, he wore out, he's frustrated, he's disappointed and he's disillusioned. In himself and in God. And that's a poison mixture for defeat. You know what? As they get closer to shore, something is wafting from the shore. They're tired. They're hungry. They have no breakfast to cook because they caught nothing. But they smell the smell of fish being cooked over an open fire. See, I'm looking at people that look like you've been jerked through a knot hole backward telling other people what Jesus can do for them. Because you've heard it all. It's a given. It doesn't excite you anymore. Amen. You become indifferent to the cross. because you've heard it so much. It's like, I know that. Excite me, preacher. Tell me something out here that's all mystical and all enshrouded in some kind of spiritual something or another. There was one gospel that he sent them with. One, the singular. Can you say, man, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And when the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel, what is the gospel? It's a simple Greek word. It's the good news that lost sinners are not hopeless. Amen. Bound sinners are not helpless. Praise God. That God loved this fallen world and the bound, blind sinners in it enough to send his son to die in their place on the cross. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I don't want to know nothing else. Wow! I did not come to you with the enticing words of man's wisdom. Some of you would rather get a prophecy than the truth from the Word of God. Amen. Bible study is boring. You're not too different from the people looking to the fortune teller. It was a short step from falling away from God in Saul to the wicked witch of Endor. Can you say amen? Pentecostal people, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. If there's going to be a revival, it's got to begin when we get a new appreciation for what Jesus has done. Not what he's going to do, but what he has done. If you're saved today, you ought to be someone filled with such gratitude, such love for the Lord. Hallelujah, that you can weep over the lost, not just argue with them. He'd go ask a very important question. Because one of the places he went to yesterday, the lady said, I'm Baptist, and handed it back to him. What do? You say, thank you very much. You walk away. We don't avoid foolish and unlearned questions because they gender strife. Come on, you'll never win the argument. You'll never win the argument. Only God can open the heart. Only God can open the blinded eye. But when he does, it's real. It's powerful. And it begins with loving. It's something that breaks down those barriers. I don't know this young woman's background, but God did. And she looked over at this man that had been totally rejected in his presentation and representation of the Christian faith by this intellectual crowd of leftist, new age, young college students. And now he's praying over the most adamant, vocal person. But he's praying with tears in his eyes. The tears are trickling down. And when he opened his eyes, tears are now in her eyes. And she looked at him with tears in her eyes. She said, no one has ever shed a tear for me in my entire life. Nobody has shed a tear for me in my entire life. And her eyes came open. And she received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Right there, right then, on the spot. And all of his theological presentation, which was all correct, couldn't reach her. But his compassion and the Holy Spirit, when that barrier came down and her eyes came open, can you say amen? You know what we used to do in Pentecost? I'm going to tell them myself as we close and have Holy Communion. We had a pastor. We had a church. We were not heavy on Bible study. We were more on I love to experience God's power. I'm not going to give it up either. But I'm glad I got a Bible as a compass. I'm glad it still excites me. I'm glad I still love to tell the story, to read the story. I'm glad I haven't got over the cross. You say, Brother, I want to hear something new and different. Honey, you need to appreciate what you hear. You've heard. You know what the Bible said about what you know right now, what everybody in here already knows? You need to give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard. Can you say, man, you need to start paying attention to what you first heard, what is there? Why? Lest at any time you what? You let it slip. Can you say, man? You know what slips away? Remember when you first got saved? First love. Remember when you first got married? Isn't it amazing, the first love? Isn't it amazing? Just put it in the physical sense. Remember when you first got married? I led a man to the Lord. He was a Baptist guy in church, and I was a pagan guy out of church, but raised in church. And anyway, but I led him. My first person I ever led to Christ, Larry Messenger. Hallelujah. I remember, amen, walking up on the loading dock, and I'd come out of a Holy Ghost service, and I was so in love with Jesus. I just loved Jesus. I wasn't even to the point of soul winning yet. I wasn't looking for souls to win. I just loved my Lord. I just sat in the car until I had 2 minutes to get to the time clock because I had been praising him all the way to work. Amen. And I was just in there praising God. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Oh, Jesus, I praise you. Thank you for saving me. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And I had to, you know, blow all that out and get ready for work. And I walked up on that loading ramp, and the shift was getting ready to change. And there's a shift in here on their break. And here's the man that goes to church every Sunday. And he knew I didn't. Amen. He was saved, and he knew that I didn't. I wasn't. And he was looking out at me, and I saw him staring at me. He came outside. He grabbed me and pulled me over to the corner and said, "Can I talk to you in private for just a minute before break's over?" I said, "Why, sure. What is it? What is it? What is it?" He said, "When you came up on the dock tonight, something, I saw something. I saw something. I saw something in you. What has happened?" I said, "I received Christ. I received Jesus as my Savior. I've asked the Lord to come into my heart." He said, "Can you come Monday night? Can you come to my house and have supper with us? I need to talk to you." We went in. We had supper. Pamela and his wife sat in the kitchen. We went back in the bedroom. We sit down on the bed. I had no course in witnessing. I didn't, but I felt Jesus. I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt the presence of God in that room. He began to weep. I began to weep. I said, "I don't know what to tell you. Jesus died for us. That's all I know. Jesus died for us, and He loves you, and He was on the cross and He loves you." And he received Jesus as his Lord and personal Savior. Praise God. He's been on mission trips down to South America. His son was born with a psychological problem, some kind of mental problem, and they said he couldn't even get through elementary school, and he graduated from Southeastern Bible College. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Assembly of God, Holy Ghost anointed. Woo! Hallelujah. I didn't start arguing Pentecostalism with him. I shared Jesus with him. Amen. And the moment he accepted Christ, the title dropped. That didn't mean I had to change anything I believed or any difficulty I had with some of the teaching, but the title Baptist, the title Pentecostal, it dropped. Because you can't use that to get through the gate. Can you say amen? It has to get about Jesus. I said, I'm not going to do anything to drop any of my distinctiveness as a Pentecostal, but I'm not going to do something to say I'm right and you're wrong when people need Christ. Can you say, man, hallelujah, if you haven't wept for somebody, if your heart hasn't been broken for somebody, can you say, man, you're not in a condition to really tell anybody about the love of God? They see through it. They see through it. So I begin this study as we close on the book of Revelation. And people are sitting there. Here we go. We're going to find out what 666 means. How it's going to be implemented. We're going to find out probably who is alive in this generation. Who the Antichrist is. And I say something that just lets all the air out of them. The revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John the Divine. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. And I made a statement that let more air out of it. And I could just see it deflate. If you came to try to figure out who the Antichrist is, you will be disappointed. You know, they thought it was Kaiser Wilhelm at one time. Oh, and then they updated it. They thought Hitler was the Antichrist. And most recently, they think Obama. But start talking about Jesus to Christians that have been there, done that. Look like it's boring. Tell me something. I had a man come to me in Hardy's restaurant after a church service. He had attended here. He recognized me and he said, I was in your service today. And he came up to me and I thought, boy, if it was like it used to be, we'd bring him in here, it would draw people. He came up and said, God has given me the gift of interpreting dreams. If you find that anywhere in your Bible, the gift, it's not a gift of the Spirit. There have been dreams that have been interpreted. There's no gift of the Spirit of interpreting dreams. That is no specialist ministry. But I have the gift. In other words, if anybody had a dream, all they got to do is tell it to me, and I have the gift to tell them what the dream means. Yeah. Oh, Lord, they sell everything now. They sell prophecies, and people buy them. They buy them, pay for them. You read this Bible a while, you get a Holy Ghost filter. And you say, amen. Prove all things. Prove it by what? Oh, that person is so anointed. No. No, darling. No. Paul was so anointed, but when he was wrong, Peter withstood him to the face. The anointing is not synonymous with truth. Can you say, man, there's one truth, and it's in this book that you got in your lap right here. You get away from that, you can't judge an angel. Did you know an angel said it's no marvel if an angel appear to you as an angel of light? Well, how in the world can you tell the difference? You heard me tell the story of one Halloween, these boys back in the hills of Kentucky, West Virginia, that used to push over the outhouses. They did worse than that. They ordered a Halloween costume that people had never seen one like it before, because it was the devil. It was a red jumpsuit with horns, tail and all. And it came with a plastic pitchfork. And Halloween night, it fell on a Wednesday night. They had a Wednesday night service with about 37 or 8 people in this little church up in the hills. So he put on his costume. And he come running into the church, jumped straight up and down and said, I'm the devil and I've come to take you all. And everybody, including the preacher, went out the side door. Dad told me this as truth. But there was one woman. She had a gimp leg. She couldn't make it out in time. She turned around and faced him and said, please, Mr. Devil, don't hurt me, don't hurt me. You know I was always on your side. It gets crazy out there. Can you say it gets real crazy? But the real devil is never going to come with horns and a tail. No marvel if Satan himself, not some demon or minion, but the devil himself, be manifest to you as an angel of light. What do you do then? You can't go by your feelings or what you're seeing or what you're perceiving. Can you say, man, you have to have something else. Amen. Even if an angel declare another gospel. And then Paul, with all his anointing, and he knew people, just like they wanted the body of Moses to pedestalize and memorialize, he knew that people put people on a pedestal. Amen. And they move away from trusting God. You want to know why there's not great evangelists with great healing ministries here in America anymore? Because people begin to follow them instead of him. Can you say amen? I said they followed them. People have a tendency to do that. But the sons of God, amen, when they grow up in God, they're led by the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Listen to me very carefully. Even if an angel bring another gospel, an angel bring another gospel, let him be anathema. When he opens his mouth and it doesn't line up with the truth that's been delivered to you, you tell him, be gone. If he's glistening, glowing, be gone. Oh, by the way, he didn't stop there. Because already people were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. They were so enamored with the anointing on these men. He said, if you get a letter from us, not just a glowing angel, but an anointed preacher, if we change, don't you even listen to us anymore. Well, how can you judge an angel? How can you judge someone with such an anointing? You better get in that book. You can deviate from this. I don't care if people are falling out all over the house. Deviate from the Word of God. Deviate from the Word of God. Don't run away. Don't walk away. Run away. Can you say amen? They that are of the truth, honey, they come to the light so that their deeds might be manifest, that they're wrought in light. A man that's preaching truth to you, he said, get your Bible out. Highlight it. Glory to God. I got scripture for it, and it's in context, and it's not a private interpretation because there is no such thing. Can you say, man, we're in the day of the last day when false prophets will go out and deceive many. Can you say, man, we need to get in the Bible. We need to get the Bible in us. Praise God. I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. That means everything that Christ has purchased for you at Calvary, God wants you to receive it. Can you say amen? Woo! If it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. So here's a scripture in closing. It's out of 1 John. Listen to it carefully. It said, now the spirit of Antichrist is already at work. That started in the first generation of Christians. But we have an unction from the Holy One. Everybody say a special anointing. That's not your feelings about it. This is not the Holy Ghost giving you a liver shiver of confirmation. You know what this is? When he, the Spirit of truth, Jesus called him the Spirit of truth. When he comes, he said, my word is truth. But you need a guide. You need a guide. You need a guide. This is not just something you figure out in your head alone. You need a guide. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he personally will guide you into all truth. And if you continue in my word, you will know the truth for yourself. John 8 and verse 30. if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You're the real deal. You're not the spiritual phonies that just show up in church and live like the world. You continue in my word, you're a real disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. And experientially, not just by revelation, but personal realization, you will know the truth. I feel it even in my bad leg. Getting better. I feel like chasing an armadillo right now. There ain't no armadillo here. Glory be to God. You'll know the truth because you're walking in it. Living in it. And it's living in you. And the truth sets you free. Woo! Thank you for the patty cake. Now give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word, O Lord, is truth. Heaven will pass away. Earth will pass away. My word will abide forever. For he's exalted his word above all of his name. And his name is exalted above all kings, all gods that man has made, all of the heavens and the universe. He said, but I'm bringing my word and I'm putting it above my name, because what makes my name so worthy and so holy is the fact that my word is pure and it's holy and it's true and it will outlast this world. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for the world passes away. It's transient. My word abides forever, and he that doeth the will of God, because we bow to the word of God. I struggle with it. God tells me to love my enemies. I have to crucify my flesh to do that. It don't come easy loving my enemies. And if it comes easy for you, you ain't really loving them yet, trying to truly love them. Amen. It's hard to love your enemies. But it's the word of God to the church. Let me give you something else. Some people leave here and say, I'm not ready for that yet. Well, you're not ready for truth. And Christians aren't ready for truth. We have a real problem. If you bring your gift to the altar, whatever you think your ministerial gift is, and you know you need to ask someone for forgiveness, he said, don't even present it to me. Don't offer it to me. It's unacceptable. Go first be reconciled to your brother. And bring it on. You see, people that are so right, they never see the need to be reconciled. Keep offering God their gift without the reconciliation. And you know what keeps them from being reconciled? I would have to say, I was wrong. Be tender-hearted. Be kind. Be tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Don't leave it there. So people are trying to go in and serve God without getting right with the people they know that they've done wrong. I'm going to go out here and do great things for God. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because it's not just your service, your works, it's your heart. So if you've got aught against somebody, don't tell nobody but that person. Go to him and let it be between him and you. And if he hear you, you've won your brother. Amen? Come on, church. This is grown-up stuff now. Been in this 40 years. I don't play church. I respect obedient Christians. So don't even tell me about what God showed you. Show me. Show me an obedient life. Show me a tender heart. Because the rest of it's phony, it's baloney, and without love. And what kind of love is this? It's a love that covers how many faults in each other? A multitude. Amen. It's a love that covers. And it allows for something that will allow miracles to occur. One mind and one accord. I would rather have three people in agreement pray for me. I'm talking about with each other, not just agreeing for my need. Than to have 1,000 people that everybody is competing and comparing and criticizing, and everybody's moving out into their own agenda. Give me three people. Three people. For where two or more gathered in my name. Where's God?
He said, I'm right here. I'm ready.
I'm here. I'm here. I'm not up there. I'm right there. And if two of you, it goes on to say, on earth shall agree. Not agreeing on the thing that's being prayed for. It's the word for our relationship with one another. To come into harmony with one another. Praise God. Praise God. He said, it shall be given them of my Father. Oh man, I'm already there. And when the Holy Spirit isn't grieved because of those attitudes that divide us. Amen. You know what happens? God moves. That's why a bunch of people don't know each other. Get together in some big crusade. They've driven hundreds of miles. They don't know Sister Hoopendicker from Brother Dollop Danger. They don't know. They don't know each other. They are not looking at that person. Oh, there they are. No, they're not thinking about that. They forget all that nonsense and start focusing on Jesus and Him crucified in the power and presence of God. And guess what? Enough of them come into one mind and one accord. And what happens? Miracles start occurring. Go down in Africa, start preaching to 50,000 people that couldn't give a care about some of the Mickey Mouse things that Christians divide over. Amen. They're hearing about a mighty Savior. They're coming with great needs. Amen. And the Spirit of God flows. And miracles occur. The power of God. They were in Solomon's porch. Oh, but they were not bickering. They were not comparing, backbiting. You know what they were? They were of one mind. They were of one accord. And miracles begin to occur. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Woo! So this morning in Holy Communion, two things are outstanding. Number one, stir us again to love you for what you've done. To give the more earnest heed to what we already know. Instead of looking for something to titillate or excite us. That takes us away from the cross. Never be revival in your life. Restoration in your life till you love Him back for loving you like you loved Him back when you first came to Jesus. Hallelujah. And the second thing is, we've all, every Christian, the ones you like, the ones you don't like, every Christian that's believed on Christ as their personal Savior been washed in the shed blood of Jesus. Every Christian around this world. Hallelujah. Amen. We've all been made to drink of one spiritual cup. Can you say amen? This is an open communion. Any Christian from anywhere, any race, any color, if they know Christ, we accept them. Can you say amen? And we embrace them. I got to read you this and we'll receive communion. I've took a long time, but I'd like to get it right. I need the Lord. I need the real thing in my life. I need more than just church. I need help from God. Amen. Amen. This is on, is this a Facebook thing that we're involved? You're involved. We're involved. Your representative our personal, our ambassador for Christ and the Holy Church of God is Brother Doug. And this is from administration, the administrator of this group of people, which is Christians in Kuwait. And this is what they said, and this is in broken English, so please. Greetings in the name of our Lord Almighty. Hope you're doing well by God's grace, because now we're in an interaction with Christians in Kuwait. Personally, I'm really very blessed and glad to have you in this group, because now we're through Facebook and us and them kind of integrating here. He says, really happy to see you very active on our group and continue the same. Am getting personal positive feedback toward your post. We're really getting encouraged. Isn't that good? Yeah. Somebody say encouraged. One time I was going to move to the range, somewhere, wherever the range is out west. You know why I wanted to go out west, Brother Taylor? Home on the range. I heard a black DJ I used to listen to on anyway, we remember there's a station played rhythm and blues here in Tampa, and he said, get off the stove, Grandma. You're too old to be riding the range. But anyway, I know. It takes a moment or two. It takes a moment or two to get through. Home on the range. What a place. It must be out west somewhere. You know why? Where never is heard. Can you imagine? A discouraging word. And the skies, well, they're not cloudy all day. Whoa, what a place. But you want to hear discouraging words? You know where we should never hear them? Because that's corrupt communication. Us. We should, come on, it's the devil's business to accuse and discourage. It's our business to love and build up. Met a man yesterday, talked with him from the job when I worked back there for years, and met him at Lowe's, and we stood in the entrance to Lowe's and people going around us, and as we shared together, and he's not what you call a real dedicated follower of Jesus, and I was telling him what the Lord had done for me, and I felt the Holy Spirit there, and he said, I love to talk to you, Rev. I've always loved to talk to you, because every time I talk to you, I get lifted up. And I thought, that's exactly what should be happening in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. And getting personal positive feedback towards your post. We're really getting encouraged by your post. Keep us encouraged. The same. Possibly add your beloved friends and encourage your friends to join the group and get encouraged. Ultimately, we are one in Christ. We belong to one Almighty Father God. Let us encourage one another and share Christ. Can you say that? Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Wouldn't it be wonderful if no corrupt communication proceeded out of our mouth, but that is good to do what? To edify, which means to build up. Let everything be done to the building up, the edifying of what? The body of Christ. Hallelujah. Everything. Every word, every deed, everything. Hallelujah. May Moho Shodni, Kelaba Hosanda da Bakisa Nana Badore, Lala Bohosonda da Bakita Nanaba, Nigna Bakosele. That's why we need to check our attitudes, check our words. Can you say, man, the tongue is an unruly evil? It's set on fire of hell. If you turn it loose, it's wild and it'll run wild. No man, nobody in this room can tame it yourself unless you make Jesus the Lord of your life. That's why when you're filled with the Spirit, the first evidence is that you start talking different, not just walking different. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of your tongue, you glorify God with it. What did they hear in their own language? Gibberish? No, they heard them magnify the Lord. Amen. Anybody that gets near a church should never hear criticism. Anybody that, come on. If anybody gets within 100 yards of a church, they should never hear people bickering. They should hear no backbiting. They should hear the high praises of God and people loving one another. Hallelujah! Come on, church. It's not your job. It's not my job. The Holy Ghost is the one that convicts the heart. Get out of the judgment seat. You cannot sit in it. You are not qualified. You're not qualified. Say, preacher, you don't know how long I've been saved. You could be saved 1,000,000 years and you're not qualified. Whatever rock you're ready to throw, drop it. Walk away. And thank God he doesn't expose your sin. Because you got some. Because if a man say, I have no sin, God says you're a flat out liar. I didn't say it, God said it. Souls getting near church, they need to hear somebody saying, come on in. You'll find some people that, listen, I love a sign that says, the perfect church for people who aren't. Amen. Because ain't no perfect people in here. And if we wanted to pick at each other's imperfections, we could destroy each other's influence. And we can kill what God is trying to establish for his great name's sake. Hardest thing there is to get Christians to come into one mind and one accord and quit letting the devil put little things in the way of the big thing that he wants to show us and do through us. Hard to get unity. You've been out there long enough to know, and it don't take too many people. You can have 12 people and not have unity and grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen? But you can have 3 people in unity and watch him work. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, there's a point in communion when we're supposed to cleanse our hearts. It's a point in communion we're supposed to search ourselves. And it's not that unworthily. Unworthily means banqueting, getting drunk, and treating something holy as a self-indulgent thing for the flesh. None of us are worthy of what these tokens represent. But we are worthy through what these tokens represent. To call God our Father, Christ our Savior, and our brother. And we are bound with a bond in the Christian faith that if you know Christ as your Savior, you're my brother, and you're my sister. Amen? And if we don't see each other that way, we're phony. This is just phony. So I've been a pastor for 40 years. And you know something? I could try to use my experience and tell you, I know more than you because of 40 years. No, I don't know more than you. I don't need to know more than you. But I am the pastor. I'm not always right, but I am the pastor. Amen? I am the pastor. Are you bragging? No, I'm acknowledging God's going to hold me account. So I don't do what anybody else says. I listen. I communicate. But I come here to lead as the Spirit gives it to me. And you hear truth here. You know that you wouldn't be sitting back there right now if you didn't believe you were going to hear the truth this morning. Because there's bigger churches with more amenities. You're here for one reason. If you go to Brother Venables, you will hear the truth. He's not afraid to tell you. But I love you. Check your spirit. Check your spirit. Check your spirit. Put it in check. And listen. Listen to your words before you say them. I remember my wife would write an email before she pressed. Because see, you can't get it back. How many know when you press send, it's gone? Amen. It's gone. So I think we ought to treat it a little bit like a computer. I think before you open it up and say it, we ought to stop and think about what we're about to say. Because most of the time we just say it and we don't even think about what we said. Whether it edifies or not, whether it criticizes or not, whether it puts down or not, whether it hurts or not, whether it harms or not. Bless God, I'm right and I said it. That ain't right. Stop and read it in your mind and say, when these things get out here, are they going to build up? Are they going to edify? Are they going to encourage? Are they going to bring disharmony, disunity, distrust? Are they going to build bonds that will bring us together? We used to sing a song, I gotta quit. Lord knows I gotta quit. But this is pretty crucial today. This is pretty crucial stuff. Bind us together. We used to sing it. Gerald used to just weep and the tears would run. Bind us together with cords which cannot be broken. Honey, I'm going to tell you. I remember sitting back there thinking, Lord, you'd have to send an angel with baling wire. You have to send an angel with baling wire. Because Christians aren't good at this. They resist this. As a rule. As a whole, in every single church. But where there is Holy Ghost revival, and where souls are coming to Jesus, people have put aside the petty differences and gathered around the cross of Jesus and said, we're going to work together to bring souls to know Him. And if you get in 10 miles of us, you're going to hear something good and edifying that builds up the kingdom of God. Alan. So how many people before communion ready to start do a heart check? After I had a stroke, they gave me an EKG. The doctor's office, they gave me an EKG. Hey, man. They wanted to see how my heart was doing. And I believe God is here to give us a Holy Ghost EKG. How's your heart doing today? Amen. How's your heart doing today? What is your word speaking? Life and death. Life and death. No Christian should join the one that came to steal, kill, and destroy. No Christian should ever join up and take sides with the accuser of the brethren. Can you say, man, no Christian should join because the devil has now... You talk about being blinded. And you know how we know what's in your heart? The abundance of the heart. Where does it all come pouring out? Via the mouth. So every time you open your mouth, you let men look into your heart. I really need miracles. Last three people out, Doug and me and Terry. And I seized something that you can't always get, no matter how many people are gathered. I seized a holy moment. Because as we discussed unity, for just a little while I felt the Holy Spirit's unction. And I really felt like... And it could have been any three of you, any two of you. But it just happened that we were the only three left. But right there as we discussed how important unity is, I felt God's pleasure and power with us. I felt like we could ask for anything. And the Holy Spirit would be happy to manifest it. And so I had a need. And I thought, I don't want to miss this holy moment, because we can have a whole church service with people's minds somewhere else. You can tell there's people sitting here right now, your mind's a mile away. Well, you couldn't pray for me with unity, because you're not in one accord. Your mind is already on something else. You might be mulling over something in your mind right now that you think's more important than getting your heart cleaned up. Well, it's not, I'm going to tell you. And you couldn't pray for me in harmony, because there's no one accord. Oh, I'm going to agree that God meet his need. No, I'm talking about agreeing with one another. I'm talking being in harmony. Our hearts knit together. Well, something occurred. I felt like our hearts knit in that holy moment. Amen. And when I felt like we were in unity of heart, I asked for prayer for a need. That's the only time I want. Everybody in this room could gather around me right now. And it could be any three of you. Could be four, could be all of you. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But I'm going to tell you something. It ain't the amount, it's the agreement. Can you say amen? I felt loved. I felt like we loved one another. I felt like we loved one another. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was just free to move. And so I said, would you pray for this particular need? And they began to pray for me. And I said, this is the element where the miracles can occur, where the supernatural can happen. That's why most of the time when they happen, all the people with everything else on their mind, they're zipped and gone. Amen. And you get down to those few that can come into agreement, and that's where every miracle has occurred in our services. Can you say, man, it's not going through the motions. It's this holy agreement. Where are you going to find those two on earth? Amen. How do you find them? How do you locate them? Somebody that says, I'm not sitting here thinking about what we differ on. I'm here coming into full agreement. I want needs to be met. I want body. Listen, one day you're going to have a need. I don't know what it's going to be in your body, in your marriage, in your home, on your job. One day you're going to have a need. Honey, you're going to need to be part of those who build up. You need that agreement so God can move. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I felt the Spirit of God. Amen. We had preached a message years ago, and I found out Doug still had it in his heart. I said, if we get truly right with God, every time Israel's truly right with God, he marked them with miracles. Amen. And there wasn't an occasion that they came back to him and he came back to them that they just practiced a mundane, powerless religion. Amen. God showed up and God showed out and God sent angels and God defeated their enemies and God healed their sick and God met their needs and God supernaturally sent rains on their crops. God opened the windows of heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. And as we prayed, Doug prayed and he said, Lord, mark us with miracles. Miracles. Mark us with miracles. I work a miracle in my pastor. And we were in harmony and unity. And everybody don't ever come into that. But someday it's going to be your turn. And if you need prayer, I'm not going to be arguing doctrine that morning. I'm not going to be splitting hairs that morning. I'm going to be exalting Jesus that morning. And ask God to mark us with miracles. So if you have a problem with me and my leadership, come to me. Be a man. Man up. Look me in the eye. Tell me what your issue is. I may not be able to resolve it. If it can't be resolved for the sake of agreement, small as we are, you'd think I'd never say this, but I'm going to say it. Find a church that you can come into agreement in for your sake, for our sake, and for the sake of that church. Find a church that satisfies you. Find a church that you approve of. That, amen? Find it. And this may happen this week. It may happen next month. But for goodness sakes, don't quit church, because all of them ain't messing up. There's a distinct possibility the problem could be with you. Amen. Man called me on the phone at the old Holy Church of God. He said, I have been to this church. And I thought, boy, that's a good church. He said, yeah, but he told me the fault he found with it. By the way, everybody finds fault with everybody. They're going to find it with you sooner or later. Fault finders always find fault. Because there's always some fault. So anyway, and then he said, and I went to that church. And he told me what was wrong with that one. And that was a good church as far as I knew. And then he told me of a third church. He said, and I went to that church. And now, you know what I'm hearing right now? I know exactly what's going on. So he's went to three real good churches that clearly God is blessing, and men of God that's proven themselves over time. None of them satisfied him. And I guess he thought he was going to flatter me, because he said, and Pastor Venable, I'm going to come Sunday morning and try your church out. And you know what Pastor Venable told him in love? I wasn't trying to be mean. I said, sir, I'm going to tell you right now. I said, we're not going to meet your expectation. Wasn't mean, was it? We can't meet your expectations. They couldn't meet it. They couldn't meet it. They couldn't meet it. We'll never be able to meet it. I said, sir, I'm going to be honest with you, so you don't waste your time. Because see, what I didn't want it is somebody to come. When somebody's coming for healing of cancer and somebody's sitting back there fault-finding, bickering, sowing discord, amen, dividing the brethren, because miracles do not occur in those environments. But when they were in Solomon's porch, in one mind and one accord, God showed up and God showed out. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am not perfect. This church isn't perfect. There's no perfect people in here. But God loves us. And God's drawn us together to accomplish something. Yeah. Woo! And I'm still here. I'm not seeking approval. I'm seeking unity. Pray for me. Pray for the church. Don't cut it. Don't criticize it. And don't discredit what we've done for Christ out of this little bitty place. I have value to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know He loves me. And I know these 40 years have not been in vain. Hallelujah. 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 And there's going to be some people in heaven. Would you serve us communion? Handabarusha. This very thing we're about to do is supposed to not only make us remember Him and fall deeper and deeply in love with Christ. It's to cause us to recognize each other as the family of God. Could you please... I don't even know if I handed it to you. I don't think I did. But let's prepare our hearts for communion. When we saw Him, there was nothing that we should desire Him. But we considered Him smitten, stricken, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. And He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. All we like sheep have gone astray, and God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. There is no deeper, greater, new, improved spiritual revelation than that in all of the Bible and throughout all eternity, The praise for what he did at Calvary will echo in the heavens forever. There's nothing greater. Nothing greater. Would you let that play, please? I want you to search your heart. I want you to search your heart today.
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree.